All right. So this morning I wanted to share just a little bit, and then I think Joel's going to share as well. But I wanted to talk about how many of us feel like there's things in our life that seem to be hindering us from doing God's will. How many of us just seem like there's things that are just like, man, they're in the way of us from doing what God wants us to do? Because if that's the case, those things really should be moved out of the way, because we want to be able to do God's will. And so I wanted to read a couple simple little truths here. One is in Mark 10, 27. It's a really common verse that many of us have heard. It says, Jesus is speaking, and I'm not going to read the whole context this time, but it says, with God, all things are possible, right at the end of the verse. So things that seem impossible to man are possible with God. And I would say that almost everyone would agree with that. All Christians would say, yeah, with God, all things are possible. There's another verse, Mark 9, 23. And Jesus is speaking again. And he says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And this is the part, I think, that as Christians, some of us struggle with, is we realize, man, we struggle in having faith, in believing. And that's not always wrong to realize that we have a weakness there, but we don't want to stay there. We want to cry out to God, right, and say, God, help me with my unbelief. I believe, but help me with my unbelief, right? Lord, I want you to cause my faith to grow. We all need faith. Look here in Mark 9:24, the next verse, right? That's what it says. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my faith to grow. That should be our heart cry, because our unbelief can really hinder things. And so we know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. We need faith to please God. And yet here we are struggling with faith. So we should be crying out to God, Lord, help me to believe. Increase my faith. So let's turn to Mark 11. And there's a passage here that I was encouraged by. Mark 11, I'm going to start in verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you'll receive them, and you will have them. So here we see mountains can be cast into the sea through faith. Now, what are those mountains? Those are the very things that are in your way from being able to do God's will. Those are the things that are getting in the way from accomplishing what God wants you to do. So what do we need? Faith. And this is the part that I never quite saw before. And I want you to pay close attention, because what is the key is faith. But yet what, when we're praying about these kind of things, and we don't have that faith, what could be hindering us? And the next verse talks about it. It says, and whenever you stand praying, probably praying about casting that mountain into the sea, what does it say? If you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. And if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And so here we are, seeing that there's things that are in the way, life's not going as planned, and we're like, this is not according to God's will. I know God wants things to be different, but there's just certain mountains. And maybe you're even praying about those mountains. Sometimes we're so discouraged or lacking faith, we don't even pray about it. But what did he say? He's taught us something here. We must forgive everyone who sinned against us. If there's one person that we haven't forgiven, can we expect God to answer our prayer to cast the mountain into the sea? And I would suggest there's a problem. Unforgiveness decreases our faith. So if there's one person that comes to mind, and I would encourage all of us to actually ask God, say, God, bring to mind if there's anybody I have not forgiven. Because anyone we haven't forgiven, it is going to interfere with us being able to cast the mountains in the sea so that we can then go and do God's will for our lives. It's very simple, but I never saw the two connected together, as it's right here connected. So unforgiveness, it's a big thing. If we look here at the end of the parable I shared with the kids, Matthew 18, this unforgiveness, it doesn't just decrease our faith, but it actually will hinder us from God saving us from all kinds of things. Unforgiveness is huge. This is in Matthew 18, 31. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to each of you from his heart, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. And so if we're holding anything against anyone, what's that going to happen? We'll find ourselves essentially in torment. What does that mean? We're not going to be in a natural prison, but a spiritual prison where we feel like we're totally defeated and just caged up and we can't do anything. Unforgiveness is a big problem. And yet, we have the power to forgive. He's wanting us to forgive. Right? Jesus was able to forgive those who did things to him, and he was perfectly pure. He had done nothing wrong, and maybe that's us. We've done nothing wrong, but we're not perfectly pure like Jesus. And yet he was able to forgive. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He did that when he was on the cross from being in as a man. He's saying, Lord, I don't hold this against them. That doesn't mean that they were then justified before God. Those soldiers still needed to repent one day before the Father. And I think that you've probably heard the analogy of the cross, right? We have our human relationships where if we sin against someone, we need to ask them to forgive us. But when we've sinned against somebody, we've also hindered our vertical relationship with God. We also ask him to forgive us. In the same way, Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, right? Hold this not against them. In other words, he was saying, I don't hold this against them. I don't have bitterness toward them. I don't have unforgiveness toward them, that they're crucifying me. Although those men would still need to repent to be able to be in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, the vertical relationship. Anyways, I was just really struck by this passage. If in our lives we're feeling like we're not able to do God's will, that we're kind of caged up, or that there's something in our way, and this mountain's not being moved out of the way so we can do God's will. Question, is there anybody that we haven't forgiven? Sometimes it just means simply right where you are, say, Lord, I forgive them. I don't hold it against them. They haven't ever even asked for forgiveness, but Lord, I'm not holding this against them. Lord, I want it to go well for them. I want them to be reconciled to you, etc. But in our heart, we're forgiving from our heart. And I'm going to leave it there.